bones are amazing things. They hold us up. They support us. They make us strong. But bones have other uses. In the past, bones were thrown by diviners, seeking out the mysteries of the future. Now the bones are cubes, made of plastic or resin, but they still reveal things to us as they fall from our fingers and rattle across the table. The story becomes clear. Welcome to Bone Throwers Theater, an RPG actual play podcast.
Hello and welcome to Bone Throwers Theater. My name is Jordan, and we are playing The Skeletons, a game by Jason Morningstar. My skeleton is the crawler.
My name is Jeremy, and my skeleton is the tattered cloak.
My name is Aaron, and my skeleton is the headless.
My name is Johnny, and my skeleton is the horror.
Now this game is a meditative structured freeform game for 1 to 6 players. Years fly by like dead leaves. Everything is darkness. Everything is silence. You stand vigilant before the sarcophagus without thought or breath. Such is your compulsion. You do not remember your name, and still you watch. The flesh has fallen off your bones, and still you watch. And then one day there is light and motion, and you weigh your bearded face and raise your shield, lusting for the fray, eager to measure your skill against these tomb-robbing children so full of blood. You'll never be alive again. But in this moment, in the chaos between violation and destruction, you truly live. And you remember what you once were. And you taste the sun. At this point, we are going to go ahead and draw a map of our tomb. We're going to work together to sketch the outlines of the tomb. It can be any general shape or size. It needs to be built around a central sarcophagus and have north, south, east, and west walls. It's fine to make the tomb visually interesting, but don't add any elaborate details. Use a large sheet of paper, letter-sized or bigger, and leave plenty of room for added information as you play. Draw on the map where your skeletons each stand silent watch in the darkness while the tomb remains undisturbed. I think the first thing we should do is probably draw a compass rose, just so we know.
Yeah, so we can remember which is north, south, east, and west.
All right, so our sarcophagus is in the middle. How do we want our sarcophagus shaped? Do we want a regular rectangular sarcophagus? Do we want, like, a circular urn where the body might have been wrapped and then placed inside?
How about an upright pillar?
An upright pillar. A square pillar? A circular pillar?
Circular pillar.
Jeremy, would you like to go ahead and draw one of the walls?
By answering the question on...
Yeah, there's some questions.
Well, they'll say it has to have those walls. They'll say that's a part of it.
Yes.
So mine specifically asks, what scene is depicted in the fresco that covers the eastern wall?
Okay.
So
we can at least lay out the eastern wall and then, like, answer the question.
Do you want me to draw it? This is gonna
Yes, draw your eastern wall.
Draw the eastern wall. And then also...
You have to determine how far away from the
crypt
it is.
That's what we're trying to do.
The question is, are we having a dungeon crawl, or are we having the big room, or is a...
I had assumed it was just
one big room. Impression that I got from the... description.
This is the central hub of the boss monster.
Yeah, right? We are in the room. We are in the...
Well, I just figured since we're creating a map, that's just the center of the map, is this one room.
Oh, I guess the question is, are we putting more on this sheet of paper than just
the one room?
This one room.
No, only this room.
Only this room is being on this sheet of paper.
Correct.
Okay,
I'm going to put it all the way out here because on the eastern wall is this large fresco detailing a sacrifice.
Okay.
And it's someone that is glowing with like a holy light being placed onto a headsman's podium and the axe coming down. So it's actually this person who's glowing with this power having their head removed.
Okay. So a saint being sacrificed.
A glowing person. We're not going to call it a saint.
Okay.
Because it's just, we're describing what you see rather than what you know.
Okay. I like it. All right. Who wants to go next?
I'm trying to think. Mine says, what subtle things in this place speak to a purpose far, far beyond honoring the noble dead? So going off to what the fresco looks like, I'd say there's probably a circular skylight type door up in the ceiling.
Okay. Hmm.
That can be opened, and a series of mirrors around the room.
Okay.
Ooh. No mirrors.
They're all broken. Every single one.
Okay.
So my question is, who are interned in the seven niches along the southern wall? So I was going to say the southern wall is curved, and I'm going to leave this a little bit vague. The who is interned there are the seven gemmed daughters.
Okay.
So there's a gem above each niche, different gem.
So do we want to go around and name the gems?
Sure.
All right, I'm going to say the one in the middle that kind of goes off the page here. That gem is topaz.
To the west. To the west of that. I was going to say to the left. I was like, ruby.
Opal will be the next one.
To the west.
To the west.
Onyx, I meant.
The eastmost is going to be beryl.
I'm going to do just to the east of
topaz.
Ooh, topaz. Let's see. Let's do emerald. And then we got one left.
Is hecatite a gem? Or is that a mineral?
I think it's a mineral, but I was going to say, to stick with the theme on that side, it could be jade, and then it'd be all three greens.
Oh, yeah, perfect. Jade. Good call.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and draw the western wall.
What was your question?
My question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does the intricate mosaic that covers the floor depict?
Floor.
Oh. So I'm just going to go ahead and fill in one of the walls.
Yeah, because we don't have walls.
The western wall is cragged and broken.
Like a natural rock face?
Yeah, like a natural rock face.
Nice.
I'm going to say you enter from the north.
I'm going to say that the mosaic starts at the door. It's going to end just on the south side of the sarcophagus. The mosaic is made out of gold coins from all of the different worlds that have been conquered by the sarcophagus's occupant.
Or I guess the sarcophagus's occupant is also the sarcophagi.
Sir. I would say get out, but this is your house. So do we have any unanswered questions for the map creation?
No,
I think we...
Everybody has theirs marked off. All right. This is a really cool looking dungeon.
It is.
All right, let's talk about working together.
Why do we need to do that?
I just realized what you said.
You will need to cooperate to reveal the skeleton's past and future. Oh, we need to also notate where our skeletons are standing on the map.
Is just our skeletons, or are there other
We are the skeletons.
Okay.
Crawler is going to be standing in the northwest corner, right where the rough-hewn wall actually meets the cut wall. Not terribly far away from the entrance, because Crawler cannot move quickly, so to get to the encroachers, Crawler must be nearby.
Now, are we like inanimate skeletons until something happens?
Or? Correct.
Oh, nice.
I kind of want to be one of the seven gem daughters.
So Tattered Cloak is going to be kneeling in front of the topaz niche.
Okay.
Because in addition to the Tattered Cloak has a sword. So going to be kneeling facing the internment with the sword, like, paying homage.
Yeah, see, I don't have any weapons. I have lots of jewelry, though.
Yeah.
Including a crown.
Crawler is carrying a much-nicked knife and wearing the remains of an elegant fur-trimmed jacket. Headless, where are you located?
Sounds like you would be located by the east wall.
Yeah, actually, standing at the east wall, but I actually have my hand up against the fresco. Like, I'm
touching the fresco.
Touching it.
I knew you guys would like this game.
I love this. I love this. This is awesome.
Yeah. I'm standing inside the onyx.
Okay.
Alcove.
All right. Now, working together, you will need to cooperate to reveal the skeleton's past and future. Sometimes something will happen to a single skeleton. The actions of intruders require similar cooperation. Give a different player responsibility for each group of intruders and let them make all the decisions for that brief slice of time. Their character, their skeleton, can be strangely still. Now, just about playing the game. When an intruder violates the tomb, the skeletons spring into action. They are cursed to defend the tomb against all comers with as much ferocity as they can muster forever. It is the only time when they can move, think, and feel. All else is darkness. During an encounter, the skeletons can communicate with each other telepathically, discuss matters, make plans, and otherwise exhibit a limited form of agency. They must always act to remove threats to the tomb and are incapable of any action that contravenes this goal. They can be clever, remaining still to orchestrate an ambush, for example, but they cannot ignore or aid a stranger, or an intruder, excuse me. While an intruder is present, skeletons may also remember bits of their past. Their minds are their own for the duration of the encounter, provided they are busy removing threats. Once the threat is removed, they must immediately return to their watchposts and be still. Skeletons win encounters with intruders. Tomb robbers, wandering beasts, and other pests are driven away or killed until finally they are not. The rules change when you reach the third part of the game, the desecration, and it is there that the skeletons will likely be defeated. When it is time for your first encounter, choose one from the unsealed tomb and mark it off. Do whatever the instructions say.
So, I'm staying in the alcove, but I'm staying in front of the gym daughter. Okay. In the alcove.
That's what very saying. Nice. Very
well, nice. I actually was wondering, were you standing behind?
No, I'm standing in front of, taking the place of. Well, that's funny, because I was just looking up the meaning of onyx, like, spiritually. It says it's used for grounding, protection, and self-control, which is the exact opposite of my character.
Yeah, fun.
Very nice.
And as you were reading, I was noting 7 niches, and Johnny, by hand, you drew 7 mirrors.
Uh-huh.
That's cool. All right. We're going to go ahead and take a moment before we go on. Aaron, would you mind turning off the light? Take a moment to breathe. Feel the silence. Imagine the weight of countless years. We're going to end the episode sitting here in the dark, thinking about the passing of time, about the weight of the ages that are slowly settling upon our desiccated shoulders.
Thank you for listening to Bone Throwers Theater. We are releasing this podcast under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 Unported license. That means you can share the podcast, but please do not modify it or try to gain financially from it. If you would like to visit our website, you can do so at bonethrowerstheater.com. If you would like to send us an email, you can do so at bonethrowerstheater@gmail.com. Our Twitter handle is bonethrowerstheater. You can also look us up on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And until next time, may the bones fall ever in your favor. This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.